the show live every morning, click over to TNTRadioEmpire.com and fire up the earbuds. This is the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Somebody sent the unofficial page, or the unofficial page, fan page, posted a photo of a podcast from May 14th, and it was labeled originally The Allure of Cockfighting. And we've talked about this on the show before, how there's a limited number of characters when they pop up on your podcast, either in your car or whatever whatever device you got it on. And, of course, they took out fighting. Now, Push, do you know the amount? It seemed planned by you.
Because it, it did. Because, it really did.
Do you know the exact amount of characters? That was a car, but your cars are all different, right?
Yeah, cars are all different, man. Right. I when I put it up there, I just have an unlimited number in the title field of the podcast.
I realize that.
But it varies from device to device.
Right.
You know, car to car. Yeah.
How many characters are going to handle?
Well, some do. When I put that back on, I put it on my Facebook and then shared it on the official page, and somebody got on and goes, hey, that's my car. So it must have been a guy that shared it. But yeah, I forget what his name was. I should just shout out to the guy. But yeah, it said The Allure of Cockfighting, but it didn't say fighting. And it just stops. It says, see, you know, whatever, you unspell that. And people chimed in. Mainly it was Nick's dad on the show that day.
Yeah.
But actually, I like the original title. I like the second title even better, man. You know, so that was funny. And that happens all the time, but that was one of the best ones.
That's a complete shot in the dark, man. I have no control over that, but it worked out perfectly.
I think you should start planning that. Find your car, whatever your car is, Puss, and I'm sure that's a lot of screens, and some cars are all probably the same, so and just try to type out stuff like that.
Or
that's
we
a
could
long
do
work
that as a podcast extra segment and bring in Rachel and Heather and Mark.
Yeah. And Mark, right. And Nick, you know, because that daycare thing.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
And it's hereditary.
I don't think that was appealing.
No. There was no allure.
Allure.
That, right?
There was the no allure.
Allure, yeah.
So I had an interesting day yesterday. What was the day before yesterday? Jeez, Todd, you're taking these days off. First of all,
Tuesday was the day before.
I still
want to
thank you for that. But Tuesday, so Tuesday night, my son gets home and he has really bad sore throat. And I said, we'll go to urgent care tomorrow morning, which would have been yesterday morning. He goes urgent care while I'm on the radio. And then I realize I'm looking at his location and he's not there anymore. He's actually at Hershey Hospital at the emergency room. I text him. I said, what's going on? He goes, well, they told me to come over here because I don't know what it is and blah, blah, blah. By the way, I'm getting it all good. Everything's good, but there's some funny stories that happen here. So they're going to drain his tonsils because there's pus in his. I know. Well, first of all.
That doesn't sound pleasant.
I'll get to that in a second, how painful that looked. Poor guy, man. Jesus. No, it doesn't sound. It was brutal. I got to watch it, but I didn't get to see the needle, but I could see her shove the needle in his mouth, but I'll get that in a second. So we get over there, and he's actually
initially,
in the hall.
It sounded like kind of hot.
Yeah.
I'll drain your tonsils. Who it's coming from.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Guys would pay extra for that.
He's got an abscess in his tonsils.
Okay. Ugh.
That sounds bad enough, right? So there's a pus sack in there, but I'll get in a second. So we get there, and I'm coming over now. So we go over there, and it's a pretty big emergency room. You know, it wasn't like the pit because that's the set, but it was basically you could see how that place could get that way. I mean, I walk in, I see four cops. I see because there was some autistic kid that was raising hell. They had him locked in this room. I saw people running around. I saw one guy get pulled in and he looked messed up. I saw old people about to die. It was that kind of emergency room. It's a big hospital. But he's just in the hallway sitting on the bed waiting. He's got an IV and he's waiting for a blood test. And so we're sitting there and right across the hallway, which is like not that big a hallway. So we're standing by the bed in the hallway and the room right there, like across from the bed. All of a sudden I see this person walk up and just shove this piece of paper on it. And this piece of paper says, and I look in there, there's like a Filipino ethnic looking woman laying there. Her son's in there too, but he's got a mask on. She's laying there with her eyes closed. And this thing says, stop. Airborne precautions, in addition to standard precautions, sanitize, PPE, which is the old mask, by the way.
Personal protective equipment.
From COVID, yeah. Remove outside, sanitize. So I'm thinking, What? So there are masks on the wall, and I'm sure you guys know I haven't had a mask on since COVID. And we put the mask on just because we're sitting there across the hallway. And I'm thinking, I remembered how bad these things suck. They just, they're so, remember how, it just took me back to wearing that everywhere, the mask. But we had it on, and we kept thinking, they don't make any Ebola jokes, you know. So I go to the lady, I said, are we okay to stand here? One of the nurses, and she goes, because, oh, yeah, that room is designed to when you open the door, to suck the air back in.
Oh.
So I go,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I said, well, I mean, that really doesn't help me much. And then she goes, well, it make you feel better. She says, we walk around here all day, and we never find out people are really contagious until 10, 12 hours later. I said, well, that's your job. That's not me.
Yeah.
I'm here visiting somebody, for Christ's sakes. But, yeah, I don't know what it was, but we kept the mask on the whole time. So we take him down to his room, and then they take this big needle, and they reach back into his throat. And they numb it a little bit,
numb.
But he is in incredible pain. I could tell by his voice, you know, just like, oh, and then they suck pus out of the throat.
Ugh.
Yeah, and I see the pus coming out of the throat.
Ooh.
Enjoy your breakfast this morning, by the way.
Again, that's that'll cost you extra.
Somebody's having runny eggs right now.
So they take the pus out. That's a good thing. They take the pus out. And this doctor, she seems nice. Her bedside manner was kind of, I'll get into that in a second. I didn't really like her bedside manner. She wasn't a real prick or anything, but she was informative, told us everything was happening, blah, blah, blah. And I kept thinking, man, could this be something worse? They pull all the pus out. It's pretty good. And then she looks in there, she goes, she sees a lump, and she takes a picture of it with the camera, and she goes, well, you're okay, we'll do a follow-up. Here's some antibiotics, you'll sit here for a while until the pain goes away, blah, blah, I'll give you some pain medicine. Then she goes, well, I'll see you, and she goes, I hope you don't see you again. I hope I don't see you again. We laugh, and she leaves. Half hour later, she comes back in there, and she says their team thinks they want to put a camera on this thing. So he's upset about that. So they shove a camera up his nose, down into his throat. So I'm watching this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching the camera because I got to be there for him. And it's funny because it looks like it goes through a hairy forest that is your nose. I mean, a complete hairy forest, you know, because he's Italian, half Italian. Straight up his nose, all his hair. And all of a sudden it clears the field of hair. And basically it looks like a colonoscopy picture.
Okay.
You're inside of your throat, everything in there. She had to explain to me where the tongue was and everything like that. And so then she's doing this, and I'm thinking, well, say now what's happening. Do you see anything? So she goes, well, I'll get to that in a second. I'm thinking, that's not cool. You know, because the word cancer was mentioned before this whole thing. Because everybody knows if a doctor says, we want to look at that lump, you know, anybody that is alive today as an adult knows that could be something bad. So she goes, well, we'll go to that afterwards. And so this is where she kind of pissed me off. So I go, everything good. She goes, well, we'll go over that. And that's not what you say. I mean, if doctors are listening, tell me if there's a rule against this. She could have said, well, I'll go over the video in a second, but yes, everything's good. Don't you think that'd been better if she said that?
Unless it's not.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
She didn't want to back herself
right,
into a corner.
Right, but here's the story,
probably.
Todd. Everything was good.
Okay.
So she knew that. So she goes through the video with me. And Ryder, who's just freaking out, and I'm freaking out. He's my boy, you know that. We all would freak out in this situation. And they go through the thing, and they give the one down by the one area of his mouth. They go, okay, that's all clear, but let's go down here. And she uses the word butt. So then my heart skips a beat. And she goes, okay, down there it's clear and everything, so it's good. So I really wanted to go to the bitch. Sorry. I was going to say, but why don't you say it was good to begin with? And then show us the video. So we sit here and relax. But I want to know if there's a doctor listening, and there'll be a lot of doctors. Was that protocol not to say it's good? Like you said, Todd, if it wasn't good, yeah, I understand that completely, you know. But didn't it sound like she led into, but down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down here it was clear too. And we left a half hour later. He's got to do some follow-ups, but he's in pretty bad pain. But I thought it was so, what the hell, man? Why don't you say it's good? I know that's their day. You know, doctors are there every day. And by the way, can you imagine working in those situations? When's the last time you've been in the emergency room? You know,
Recently.
Oh, really? Okay, just walking around and
when
living
Crystal
that.
And I went there, we took the ambulance ride a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right, right. Yeah. Just living that lifestyle. I'm thank the non-existent Jesus that people do that for a living. Because if we were in charge of stuff like that, everybody would be dead, you know.
Well, I do watch that show, The Pit.
Yeah, I know.
And if it is half as crazy as they make it seem.
Yeah, well.
And I'm sure a lot of big city ERs probably are exactly as crazy as that one is
big
on that
city,
show.
You're right, exactly. There wasn't a bunch of gunshot wounds coming this place. It was just really busy with other stuff. A lot of old people coming in. But,
law enforcement.
They were law enforcement. Nah. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the last time I was in an emergency room. I was kind of drugged up, so it was all kind of hazy. And I remember seeing.
Were you just there visiting somebody?
Yeah, no, there was a lot of law enforcement around because evidently somebody got shot or stabbed.
Yeah,
was this the pole? The leg incident?
This was at
The leg incident.
The level one trauma center in Lakewood, Colorado.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say that would be the last time I thought you were in an ER.
That's true.
Yeah. So yeah.
That thing still bothering you?
That was my day.
But only when I think about it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, now you brought it up, damn it. You brought it up,
But sitting here, when I get up and move and think about it, I can tell something's there. Only when I think about it.
We were really lucky when Crystal had that incident there a couple weeks ago. We went to, the least busy hospital in the entire city.
Yeah.
Which happens to be very close to where we live, so we were in and out.
Good for you.
We were in and out in an hour and a half.
Yeah. I never understood the whole, just even regular doctors. You go in for a doctor's appointment and they go, okay, you sign up. You're there 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early to fill out your paperwork. And you sit there in the office and then they call you they call you an hour later.
Yeah.
You know? And the emergency room was nothing, no different. I kept thinking, what's taking them so long just to come back? You know, the experts, I mean, is there another throat emergency down the hallway? I don't know, but you know, it's the way it is. We were there. He was there like 9 hours. I was there for 6 hours. You know, just waiting around. Well, we got good news, so it was good. He's feeling better. But
the part that's unsettling is when you go to the urgent care and they take one look at you and go, "No, you need to go to the ER."
Yes, yeah. And I told him that. I said, "Why don't you tell me right away?" Because I just went over there. And he's a big kid, but you're right. That's that is unsettling.
Yeah.
We don't know what that is.
And then when the ambulance shows up, it gets worse.
I was bending this woman's ear about the woman laying there, but I realized she couldn't tell me why she was in there.
Right.
Ezra, I kept saying to her, we're standing here. Was she like
HIPAA, man?
I know. And the lady just smiled at me. I think, oh, that's right. You can't tell me why that woman is in the hospital.
No.
But you should be able to tell me since I'm standing outside a room and there's a big thing that says, I don't know, wash your face before standing here.
Yeah.
With all the diseases out there now, man. Yeah. So she's probably dead. I don't know.
Or follow up. Bound for Omaha.
Yeah. God, you're right. If I hear that today,
possible.
Yeah.
That's where the Hunter virus people come.
I know. Well, they know how to handle it in Omaha. They don't allow random people to hang out in the hallway.
Oh no,
at those places,
that's a world class infection containment center or whatever they call it.
Yeah, I was listening for. I'm thinking, hope they don't. I thought that in my head. I'm thinking, what do they say? We're sending her to Omaha. I go, what?
Time to go.
That's what
you just get up. We'll figure this out at a different hospital, son.
Yeah. So a needle, a huge needle, push right to the back of the throat. Now we all had needles in our teeth, our gums, because of, but they numbing up for Novocaine. But even that can hurt a little bit. But the back of the throat, he told me it was like, besides the kidney stones, it's the worst thing he's ever had.
Yeah.
So,
next question would be, what causes that, and am I at risk for pus sacs in my tonsils?
He's got a history of some bad tonsils, but I don't know. But she said that there's a bit. Oh, no, she didn't say that. She goes, if it makes you feel any better, I've done this a lot for the past couple weeks. It's something's going around.
All right.
So that doesn't make you feel any better, does it, though?
Yeah, well, he's 1,000 miles away, so that makes me feel better.
It might be going around everywhere.
And if they have to remove them, that's a pretty complicated operation.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
She
told me that. That adults, it's the worst pain they go through, and it might be a week in the hospital.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, but as a kid, you get right through it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't really do a lot of tonsil surgery on kids.
That was Christy's experience when she was 20 years old. She had her tonsils taken out, and she was in the hospital for several days.
All right.
Good Lord.
All right. So everything's good. Rachel Ware going to join us today. Come on back. Nick will be here sometime.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.